Okay, I have it on record.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring yeah. There yourself.
Yeah.
Here. You can move Andrew down. Thank you.
Those shoes were popular in the late 1940s.
I looked they it up. Were.
Yeah.
Well, they are certainly comfortable.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know what version I have here. Oh, dear. My King James, I left at home. I thought I left it in the car, but I didn't.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to read it out of the, somebody else can read it out of the King James, and I'm going to read it out of whatever this is.
Are you leading, Pastor?
Well, I didn't know I was, but I volunteered, but nobody said anything to me, and they kept asking, so I didn't realize that, so I'm sorry, I apologize. I guess I wasn't paying attention.
We can all jump in, maybe if you just facilitate the reading portion.
Where are we again? I'm sorry, it's been a hectic week.
We are, we left off, I think, at verse 9, so if I remember correctly. And Mark, you might be able to...
Verse 9 in what chapter?
I think
4.
Chapter 6,
five.
Verse 10 is where I believe we're at. Hold on. I'm trying to get there myself.
I believe so. We were. We leave off towards that verse 10.
Yeah. Finally, my brother.
Yeah, finally, my brother.
Yeah.
Like I say, this is going to be a little different than King James. But
so, what is that, ESV? Because I'll just change to it.
It is.
Makes it easier on... Okay, the whole armor of God.
No, this is the Restoration Study Bible. I don't know what that is. So,
here, do you want one of these?
I can't even see that. Sorry.
Here's a King James right here. You can have that.
All right, let me borrow your King James.
Okay.
You want to use mine?
Sure. No, well, that's okay. I'll just follow along, listening.
Okay.
We're gonna
be right here. Okay, Ephesians 5.
Right.
Can
you
see
this?
I can't see that either.
Never mind. I was trying
to.
Yeah, I had already turned it.
You're fine. Okay. That's too small for me.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Okay.
Sorry, I'm unprepared. I didn't know I was doing this.
I got you.
Well, I'll read out the Restoration. Somebody else can read the King James. Is that okay?
Yeah.
We can do that.
Wait, hang on.
We left on 5, what?
Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
Verse 10.
Chapter 6.
Chapter 6, 10?
Yes.
Yep.
Finally, my brethren. Be strong in the Master, and meaning Lord, and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of Elohim, God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. So I'm gonna, if anybody wants to make a comment, I'll let you make a comment, and I will comment on it after anybody else would like to make a comment.
Be strong in the Lord.
Amen.
The stronger we get is the more surrendered we are.
That's right.
Be strong in the Lord, not with the Lord.
I kind of find it interesting that he mentions principalities.
Well, we ain't got there yet.
Oh, not yet.
So, you know, when we're weak, then we're strong. Paul writes that often in the epistles. When we're weak, but to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, it means that He steps and operates through you as a surrendered vessel.
Putting on the whole armor of God. Any of you kids know what the whole armor of God is?
Having full faith in the Lord, but also being fully surrendered and being reborn.
No.
Well, there is a specific talk about what the armor is. Does anybody, any other adult or child, know?
It's a helmet, a breastplate, and feet shod. And, yes.
The sword?
Good job.
Good job. Thanks.
the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, and we gird our loins about with truth, which is the word of God.
Take us to where we go with it.
Our loins represent, that's where our strength is in the word. You know, our strength is in the truth of the word of God.
That's right.
Anybody else? I would suggest all you young kids and adults to memorize that. It's a good memory verse.
You know, they say that Paul, when he wrote the book of Ephesians, was looking at a Roman soldier.
Really?
And the Roman soldier had these armaments from the helmet to the shoes, the feet. And it's very interesting, the helmet of a Roman soldier, I guess we'll get to that in a minute. But some expositors believe that when he did write the book of Ephesians, he was looking at a Roman soldier and how he's equipped for battle. The validity of that is speculation, but it seems pretty apparent to me.
I think that probably the most important thing that I get out of that, and this is what I would tell my kids or those that I was instructing, is that you don't stand against the devil and win by accident. It's not luck. You don't, you know, just win. That it is a very intentional act to put on the armor of God. That is something that you have to actively do if you are going to stand against Satan. Because all Satan wants to do is kill, steal, and destroy us. And our defense is making sure that we know how to put on the armor of God and what each piece means and what it gives us, what strength it gives us, how it is functions in combat. Because it is, you know, I just think of people say, oh, well, you know, I'll go in and I'll wing it. Well, you don't wing it against somebody who wants to kill you and take everything out around you and everybody you love. And, you know, you don't just wing it. Like, and I think that people, in terms of their Christian experience, are just, and I know I've been that way, you know, you get so willy-nilly with it, and it's just like, oh, I'll just go to church, I'll just do this, I'll just, you know, put my offering in the basket, I'll do, but there's like, it requires intentionality, and I think we keep coming back to that word in Ephesians, like, you have to be very intentional, and there is a method to facing the enemy, and it's putting on the armor of God.
And just like you did with Jesus, and after the fast, the 40 days in the wilderness, he tried to talk you into doing stuff, you know, and you have to fight it back with the word. The word says, don't do that, you know. And so you have your weapons are the word of God, and he will, to keep it from being talked into doing stuff, you know, to be manipulated into doing things, and because, so.
If you're talking about that wilderness experience, I think you're correct. But also, too, having personally been in the desert that Jesus walked through, it was very common to have wild animals, lions, predatory animals, serpents. It wasn't that easy to get along in that wilderness. So for 40 days, not only did Jesus have to deal with the enemy, he had to deal with the natural things too.
Oh, yeah.
And it's sometimes we get so spooky, we don't realize that sometimes getting up at 5 or getting the kids up or getting yourself up, Natalie's quite correct. It is a discipline that you grow in. And I think our General Caves would tell you that that he is going through training right now in school. And you just can't mosey on to the field, do you?
Sawyer wanted to say something.
Is that right? When I was at
Houston Sawyer's.
Right.
He trumps us.
Hold on. Sylvia wanted to say something.
Oh, I was at Fort Sam to get us.
Hold on.
It's okay. He just went. He was asking to read. He was asking to read.
My ears are stopped up.
Okay.
Put on the whole army of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil.
Very good.
You want to say what that means?
Do you know what armor is? What it tells us?
Death protection.
Yes. That's for protection, that's right. And we're talking about the things of the spirit that are protecting us spiritually too.
Mm-hmm. It's Fortnite shield potion. It's the blue juice.
But armor indicates warfare. Mm-hmm. You know, putting on the whole armor of God. Mm-hmm. You know, that indicates warfare right there. We are in a war.
Right.
We are in a war to contend for truth and to walk in the truth of the Word of God and to resist the devil, and he will flee.
And your
we
mind
have
is
to have the sword of the Spirit
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
to
yeah.
finish him off.
And your mind is a battlefield. You know, it's a battle for your mind. You know, and I know there's a scripture for that, but I can't think of it. You know,
gird up the loins of your mind.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
If you think about the helmet, when Cher and I was in Rome, they had these display cases. And of course, you've all seen Roman battles. But if you look at the Roman helmet, it was three pieces to it. Did you want to say something?
Yes. There's many versions of the Roman helmet, but the one I think I was talking about is called the Galea. It's a helmet that had like two chin side pieces that were designed so they were on both sides of the face. It would also had a curve in the back of the helmet, but it was also had a roundish looking thing. It was usually commonly worn by both enlisted, but also centurions wore a modified version of it with the plume on top. So yes, I know what it is.
What's it called again?
Galea. Oh. I might make butchery, but I think that's like a close pronunciation because it has a G in the name.
The thing I was going to point out, Andrew, was that there were three parts to that helmet. Justification, sanctification, and glorification.
Oh, okay.
And it's interesting that the way the helmet was designed was for the battle. I think they call it a phalanx, or the Roman soldiers had a unique way of gathering together when they went into battle, where they would bring all, when they would fire arrows in the air, they would come down and the Roman soldiers would connect their...
I know what you're talking about. I know the shield. It's not a phalanx, that's a Spartan tactic, but the Romans did indeed take inspiration from it.
Stole everything. So.
Of course they did. I think it's called something with a T. It starts with a T. A tet something. I don't remember what the full name of it is. It starts with a T. It's basically a tactic where they have their shields raised up and the others also raised the front to allow for archers to fire through it.
My point was that it required at least six to nine people, soldiers, to put their shields together to protect them from the arrows, which speaks of the communion of the saints. So there's a lot of depth to this. The three parts of the helmet are justification, sanctification, glorification. And also the shields of faith. Sometimes when I'm weak, you know, shared strong or vice versa, or any of us, we stand together with our shields up protecting one another.
Well, I think that the biggest thing that this scripture does is tells us that walking with the Lord is going to be require diligence, it's going to require weapons, and it's going to require wrestling. That means that we are on guard against the wiles of the enemy, and our mind is where the battle is first. So we put on the helmet of salvation. It says that first. That's where it starts. It starts up here. And it's major. We have to continue to discipline our minds with the truth of the word. That's the helmet, and keep that on. And the last thing is that we're wrestling not with flesh and blood. It's spiritual. It's not visible. So that means that we have to be more attuned to the Lord to deal with the spiritual battle. You can't just deal with it in the natural. It's not a natural battle. It's a spiritual battle. Because we're spirit, soul, and body. We're spiritual beings. And that is the major thing I think I get out of this Ephesians, is that to be understand that it's not an easy walk. We have to be paying attention. We have to be walking with the Lord. We have to be diligent about our walk. And it's a daily diligence. And this here is what is attacked the most. Our mind and what we see. Mm-hmm. And that is important.
Actually, in this chapter, when it deals with the armor of God, the first thing that goes on isn't the helmet. It's the belt of truth. Because all of the armor hangs on it.
The word of God.
Truth is the word, helmet. Truth is the word, right?
Truth is the belt of the...
But that truth is word, right? We're talking about the word is the truth, right? Okay, I just want to clarify that, because the helmet of salvation and shield of faith.
Well, and I think for verse 12, did you want to read that real quick again? Or just read verse 12, just to get it fresh? What's the verse right now?
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the ruler, against the
authorities,
against the cosmic powers of
over
this planet, darkness, against the
spiritual
forces of evil in the
You know, it's really easy to assign blame to people or events or things or, you know, and just making sure that we remember Satan knows our every weakness, and he knows right when to zing us when we are at a moment where we're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're not, it could be something silly. It could be somebody, I don't know. It could be something silly. If, you know, for me on the way in here, it was the bubble tape fell out of the bubble tape roll, and it just, it was just like, you know, it could be something really silly, but it, you know, in a moment of stress, in a moment of you've got a lot on your plate, it's that straw that breaks the camel's back. And just remembering that Satan knows, he knows how to get you right where you're vulnerable, and making sure that you keep that in the forefront of your mind, that you're not wrestling against the bubble tape. I am wrestling against Satan trying to get me off my game, because he knows that I'm about to come in here and be in the Word and be in fellowship and be in a place of worship, and so he's going to try and attack me.
And they have people who will say things to you to get your goat.
Right.
And he'll send people, messengers, you know, the messenger of Satan. And then also there's that little, with the angel and the devil sitting on your shoulder, you know. And
Grimm's fairy tale.
Yeah.
I think we're kind of getting off the subject of Ephesians. No, I'm just kidding.
But it's true.
I don't know. I don't carry around a goat, though. I know that.
But somebody could say something to you, and not even knowing anything. You know, just they may even say good morning. You just—it's not a good morning. You know, it because it's not.
So we were soldiers. Everybody walks by that crotchety captain. Morning, Captain. How do you know what kind of morning it is?
Yeah, right.
The Sam Elliott. He's so funny.
Can I tell you a story how true this is?
This, meaning what he said?
Yeah, the Word of God and what Natalie was just saying. I had a, I was in a Latin class in seminary. And I had a professor that taught us Latin. He was 6'8". He was a huge man. And intimidating. And he walked up to the classroom and his head was kind of down and everything. And we said, "Mr. Spillman, what's the matter? What's the matter?" And he says, "My girlfriend's mad at me." And then all of us, like young guys, said, "What for?" He says, "When I took her out on a date last night, I wore two different colored socks. And she took an offense at that. And so when you talk about bubble wrap, I always think of Mr. Spielman, who taught us Latin in that situation."
Bubble tape.
He wasn't a priest, was he?
Pardon me?
He wasn't a priest, was he?
No, he was a mister, okay. Not a father.
Hmm. Yeah. Alrighty, moving right along here. Mm-hmm. We've gotten through the helmet.
I don't think we've got there.
We didn't get there?
13.
What did you say?
3 parts to
it. Oh. I'm sorry. This is so tiny. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of Elohim." Didn't I wear it? Go ahead, do that. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your foot be shod with the preparation of the good news of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Elohim." Mm-hmm. You want to stop there? And anybody have any other comments that they want to talk about the armor?
You may withstand in the evil day. Every day is the evil day because Jesus said, "Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." You know, so
very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
So every day is going to be challenging. You know.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
In more ways than we can count sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting that in one of the areas that we're most vulnerable, and we can see that in the book of Daniel with the image, is the feet that had iron and clay were mixed with iron and clay. And I base this on the gladiator. When you hurt someone's feet, mm-hmm. you win the battle. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because they're very vulnerable in the feet. So I just thought I'd say that. And many people think that this, that because the feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel, they think that's a sword. Mm-hmm. It's not. To be shod means that it's a preparation. And there's many people who go to battle with their shoe, trying to hit the enemy with the shoe instead of with the sword, because they haven't yet learned how to use the sword.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Some people don't even have to use their shoes. They just stick it up there because their feet stink so bad. It's a good...
Halitosis.
That was kind of off color. I'm sorry.
That's you too, Luke. You're laughing over there.
Socks.
Wait, you also doing that? No.
Huh?
You know on the snowy day and the ice day, you just wear spikes on your shoes? You can also do that.
Yeah.
Spikes? Yeah.
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 Well, it's like, yeah, how beautiful are the feet, isn't it? Bring glad tidings, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Feet carry the preparation of the gospel.
So you got to walk to it, yeah. Yeah, that's right, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, since I'm reading ahead, I forget where I left off when I was speaking. 17.
What about Isaiah 52:7? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, and who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns."
You know, this just thought to me, and maybe I'm off in left field, but perhaps your feet shod with preparation of the gospel is almost like, I almost think of it as sort of a ministry of you know, maybe hospitality or something where it opens up the door for you to be able to deliver the message of truth, which is the word of God. But it's almost like that you have to go there before you can deliver the message.
That's right. Just 90% of success is just showing up, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. But, you know, even making contact, initiating, you know, an opportunity to minister. I've been looking for an opportunity to speak with a girl at my work for a while about Jesus. And the reason, because I found out that she was homeschooled from K to 12, that her parents were missionaries and pastors, Baptist pastors, and she grew up in kind of all over the West Coast. But and I sort of found that out on accident, but the girl like cusses like a sailor, and I thought it just was such a contradiction. Like, and I don't, whatever, she cusses, like I didn't have, it just struck me as such a contradiction that she was, I knew what she came from, and yet she didn't present herself that way. And so I've been looking for an opportunity just to kind of talk to her, because I know that she has Christian roots. And then I had heard some from a student that she sang in their church, or she was like the guest singer, because she has this like incredible voice, and so she gets paid or whatever to go and sing at churches. And so anyway, just I was talking to her today, and you know, I'm just trying to show kindness and be warm. And she told me that she and her husband wanted to have a baby. And I said, well, I'm going to pray that the Lord opened your womb and that you would have a beautiful baby in God's timing. And that's all I said. And she just hugged me. And so I don't know if that was, you know, it was just the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then you can speak the word in those situation. So
you were prepared.
Looking for those opportunities.
Yeah. So. You were there and you were prepared.
I was there and I was looking.
Somewhere in the United States Navy is a very holy enlisted sailor that takes reservations against people saying they cuss like a sailor.
Maybe.
Maybe.
No, it's just, you know, sometimes it...
Did everybody hear what he said?
No.
Yes, I did.
He was making a sailor.
Anybody else here?
A sailor would be offended that I said...
somewhere in the United States Navy is a really holy and spiritual sailor that takes offense to people saying they cuss like a sailor.
Oh, I got... The last part I missed.
Yeah.
That was
well,
the most
and to
important.
Be fair, she's not crude, but, you know, it's just, you know... drops occasional bombs, and it just felt kind of jarring because I know where she comes from. I mean, not that there's anything. I'm not judging. I'm just simply relaying.
Maybe those are the fiery darts of the wicked. You have to quench
them. I don't. I mean, I don't take them like fiery darts. I was more just questioning. Like, okay, Lord, I think that you have put this girl in my path, and that I'm supposed to. Look for an opportunity to minister you. Mm-hmm. Not because she cusses, but because you put her in my path and this is an opportunity. So,
I saw an interview with the vice president before the election, Vance G.D., in his book Hillbilly Elegy. And he says he found his relationship with God even though his grandmother cussed like a sailor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, do we endorse cussing? This says, no, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. No. But if you're around people that use that type of language, that are using, dropping these bombs, even though you may resist it, it's easy to pick up the vocabulary of those that you're surrounded with.
You're right. You start thinking it first, and then you'll start saying it. You know?
Well, and it says that Peter did that, you know.
Yeah, he cursed with the servants.
Well, and it was his way of demonstrating to those that were accusing him of being one of Christ's disciples, the way he showed, he was like, oh, no, that wasn't me. And then he started cursing because he was trying to show that he was common instead of a disciple. And so, you know, we can't join, like, we have to rise above that, but we can't put that on people. Like, God has to bring that conviction.
But he wasn't converted yet. Jesus said, when you're converted, mm-hmm. strengthen the brethren. So that was, cussing was still in him, you know.
Mm. Yeah, that's good.
Huh?
Mark, that's impressive. That's great.
Oh, thanks, Dr. Dollars. I just thought of it. I don't know why.
It must have been the divinely inspired. See?
Yeah.
Very good. All right. Praying, we're going to 6:18. We cover the whole thing here. Praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit and watching thereto with all preservation and supplication for all saints. And he goes on to and, so I'm going to go ahead with, since he's got an and here, and at least in this version here, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the good news, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly, as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tysias, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Master, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort you and your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from Yahweh and the Father and the Master, Yeshua, Messiah. Grace be with all them that love our Master, Yeshua, Messiah, and sincerity. Amen.
Yeah.
Sorry, I have a question.
He talks about the mystery of the gospel. It's like, I think back then, nobody had ever heard it before. Nowadays, it's common, but... And then, like when he was on Mars Hill, he said, he seemed a setter forth of strange gods, you know. So, it was a mystery of the gospel. The mm-hmm. fellowship of the mystery, yeah.
Well, the part of the mystery of the gospel that he talked about in other scriptures was the fact that it wasn't the Jews that he just came to, that it was the Gentiles as well.
That's right.
That was a big thing. Huge thing, actually, for the Jews, because they felt like they were the only chosen ones, and they were the only one that mm-hmm. was waiting for the Messiah. And mm-hmm. here's Paul saying, the Messiah came, and he came for all men. Mm-hmm. And that was a real shocker for them. I mean, for them to get over that. Mm-hmm. And still today, mm-hmm. even so, for the Jews. That was what he said. Well, I'm sure there were other mysteries, but that was...
Well, and that's one of
the longest time when he said that, I couldn't figure out what he was saying. And then I realized, because he does say that, and I don't know, I forget which exact scripture it is, but Dr. Tellers may know, but he says that. The mystery is that it's not just the Jews that he came for.
Well, and that's the unveiling that the New Testament gives to the Old, because
right.
the entire Old Testament, you're looking for this Messiah to
yeah,
save
right.
God's chosen people, and that's something that, you know, I've been contemplating a lot, and I think I brought it out in one of my teachings, how the Bible and scriptures are so Jew-centric, you know,
right.
it's all about, everybody in there is Jewish, except for, who's the one? Luke.
Yeah.
Everybody else is Jewish. So it's written from a solely Jewish perspective until you can look and see what Paul's ministry was. And then you go back and you look, oh, well, there was Melchizedek. And there was, you know, all this stuff that predates
mm-hmm.
God's chosen people. And so you can see it through the rear view and see that God's plan was always
mm-hmm.
for man. Not just the lineage of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
So
they were chosen to carry the message.
Correct.
And then I said the preaching.
And then they didn't know how to carry it because they thought it was just for them, you know.
Sawyer wanted to say something. Go ahead.
You're like, are you with the devil? It's like Abraham Lincoln fight over for the bad guys. The bad guys want their own state. So they fight for a war, and the bad guys kind of lost. But they killed Abraham Lincoln.
You're off topic, something.
No, you're just confusing the two Abrahams. There's two Abrahams. There's an Abraham Lincoln, and then there's
the tall one.
That's Lincoln. That's a good one. And
that
he was
good.
You're right. He was fighting against bad guys, but it wasn't guys. He was fighting against powers and principalities, because we don't wrestle against people. We wrestle against the darkness that is in people, including us. Because we're not all perfect yet. Are you perfect?
Yes.
Am I perfect? Not when I throw shoes at you, huh?
You know, I think it's amazing, especially when you look at the bloodline of Messiah. You have Tamar,
mm-hmm.
Rahab, the Moabitess, Ruth. You look at all of the Gentiles, and then if you study the law, the Torah, you see that when they would take in other people from other Hittites or into their household, they were entitled to the benefits of the household, even the Seder dinners, the Passover dinners, and they were to be treated. So there was an acceptance in the law for those that were outside of being bloodline Jews.
Was it the Hittite, the one that David took his wife?
Uriah.
Yeah, yeah. He was out.
Well,
let's not get personal. That's a joke.
Uriah the Hittite, he was one of the 30 or 33 mighty men.
Is that right? Oh, okay.
Yeah, and his wife, Bathsheba, was Jewish.
Oh, okay.
And the problem was, if you remember, Bithar,
mm-hmm.
he cavorted against Solomon.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's a long story.
Yeah, so because it says Hittite, they're not talking about lineage there. It's like a surname.
Oh.
What's your last name, Mark Johnson?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No. How many Africans do you know that have the last name Johnson?
Oh, it must be like, I don't know.
I don't either.
I don't know. But I mean, yeah, it's a common name, yeah.
I'm having fun with you.
Yeah.
If Uriah's last name was Indian, he would have really funny initials.
That is a good joke, Jane.
You really can come up with them, Jane.
Just hopefully not too many people understood that. You know, I forgot what I was going to say after that one. talking about praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I really take that to heart personally, because there are many, many times that I have been pressed to pray, and I haven't got a clue how to pray, but I can pray in the Spirit. And I can pray in the Spirit in my mind without even opening my mouth, but to pray in the Spirit, the Spirit is a perfect prayer, because He knows how to pray through us.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a huge difference. And, you know, I find most of the time when I'm driving, whatever, I am praying in the Spirit. Even if I don't have a particular need, I will pray in the Spirit as much as possible. Because we are a vessel of prayer. And prayer changes things. And it absolutely does. And I know, I just want, that's a tool that we have through the Holy Spirit, and And praying in tongues in the spirit sounds kind of weird. Praying in tongues is a tongue, but still, I pray in the spirit. I'm sure everybody does. Pray that has the baptism of the Holy Spirit prays in the spirit without opening your mouth and you're even bypassing your thoughts. That the Holy Spirit is using us as a vessel of prayer. And I
well, that's really interesting, and it's a different way of thinking about it, because so often we think about we need to pray. Prayer is a tool for us, and it's a way, you know. But really, when we make ourselves available, we become the tool used by God
right. To
change things. You know, it talks about how...
We're the missing link, yeah.
Well, it was his spirit that brooded over the face. I mean, everything about who God is to extend himself to us, to be able to bring us back into union with him. That's what his desire is, for everybody to come to a saving knowledge of the truth. And when we are obedient, like you're explaining, it's not, prayer isn't, I mean, it can be for us, but there's a higher level of prayer where we make ourselves available to him. And then he can use us as a vessel to accomplish his work.
Well, prayer is a vessel. It is a tool. I mean, Paul's making sure that we know that. But, I mean, God uses us in many ways. And prayer is a very important part of our life. But prayer is communicating with the Father. And that is a very broad spectrum. It has a lot of, you know, ways. There's a lot of ways to communicate with the Father. But this is a very specific thing that he's telling us that we can do. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of Christians are not as aware of that as they need to be.
You know, Pastor, one thing I think that I'm impressed by what you just said, and we kind of didn't capitalize on it in verse 18, perseverance. Perseverance, perseverance in prayer.
That's right.
Perseverance. It isn't a one-time thing. It's something that we have to persevere in.
Until you believe it.
Perseverance is until the day you die, or you go to be with the Lord. You
do it every day, yeah.
To be constantly at it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Constant.
And
without ceasing.
Perseverance. The word implies without stopping.
That's right.
Pray always. How do you do that?
In
pray
spirit.
Without pray always. You know, I'm talking to you, or we're having a Bible study. How can
it doesn't
you
have to always be out of your mouth. It can be in the spirit, in your mind, in your spirit. Yeah. Always having your heart toward the Father. It's huge. It's life changing. Because you feel like you know that you can pray. If you don't know what to pray, you can pray in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. And the Lord knows the perfect prayer. And if we will avail ourselves as the vessel to pray always, as Paul says, it seems impossible, but it's really not. When you're communicating with God, most of the time, there isn't a time that we can't communicate with the Father, except for when maybe we're communicating with somebody else. But even then, in our heart and spirit, He's communicating. He can communicate with us so that mm-hmm. we can witness and have the right tool. Does that make sense to anybody?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what mm-hmm. I'm saying?
Yes.
Or I can talk more about it.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Beth? Mm-hmm. You get it?
Yeah, I'm just dealing with congestion.
Ooh, you are? Oh, we need to pray for you before you go.
Yeah. It's like you stay on the line. You're on the phone, and you stay on the line.
Stay on the line.
Even though you're doing
the prayer line.
The phone, you're connected. There's no disconnect. It's connected with the heaven.
Stay connected. Keep that phone connected.
And they put you on. Don't put you on hold. No.
Well, sometimes you feel like it. That's for sure. God, did you put me on hold? I'm sure we've all felt that way.
But I like to think that, or we like, you know, you can't see the, when you turn on the radio, you don't see the radio waves.
Sure.
You wouldn't know they were there except you have a radio, right?
Right.
So we're like the radios, you know.
Receiver.
And we pick up the, it goes back, you know, like we're transmitters and receivers, you know.
There you go.
But you can't see it. You just know it's there. You know?
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully the evidence is that we are bearing fruit. And sometimes we go through seasons of...
Yeah. And also he said, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to them that perish, but to the us who believe, it is the power of salvation. In other words, that's the mystery of the gospel. The foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of men, right? Is that what it says? Yeah. So so when they heard that God, Paul preaching, it sounded like foolishness. What is this? It's just foolishness, you know? It doesn't make, it doesn't fit in with my... lifestyle, you know, but then they it got in them and they were converted, you know. The
it's the opposite of religion, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
The gospel.
You know.
Religion is man's way to God. The gospel is God's way to man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Actually. Well, everybody here is kind of quiet tonight. Not Jane, though. She got her plug in. You always have those good plugs there, Jane, that kind of make us, those of us who are asleep, awake. Not that
Jane, Jane's asleep, just staring at me, keeping me awake. She's like, don't fall asleep.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody have a testimony about the armor of God and how God's used it in your life and something you can think of? No? You've been a Christian all this time and you don't know how God's used your prayer or anything else?
I've seen some stuff.
Can you think of something?
Oh.
Can you think of a time you know God answered your prayer and it was quick?
I can.
Well, why don't you tell us why he's thinking?
I'd say when he finally answered both my mom and I's prayers for finding a place finally. I think he answered our prayers in that sense, isn't it? And when we learned that we got the place, it was like a huge wave of relief. All that stress, all that, you know, it was lifted off our shoulders like a great, you know, I don't know how to describe it, but you get what I mean. Like a great negativity was lifted off our shoulders.
And me too. I got back from Hawaii, and I had orders to the garrison at Fort Sam. I didn't want to be at the garrison and do soldier stuff. I wanted to be in the hospital. So I stayed up all night praying. I said, I'm assigned to the hospital, not the garrison. And all night I did that. And sure enough, the orders were changed mysteriously. You know, suddenly,
praise
here's
God.
Your new orders. You're assigned to the acute care clinic at the hospital. You know, wow. You know,
wow.
You know, I was going to, you know, just, I mean, that doesn't usually happen, you know. They don't change their minds like that, you know, but they did in that case.
Acute care.
Think anything, Kale?
Yeah, just, yeah.
Kale, look at
it. It was easier.
I wouldn't say it's an answered prayer, but I have seen lost people at my school, and it was Wednesday, and I saw one of my buddies Sunday morning at City Church that we visited, and he was a Leon, and he was going through a hard time with his situation. And so at school, I came up to him and I just asked him if he was saved or not, and he said that he was baptized. And I'm like, well, does that mean you're saved or no? And he didn't know. So I led him through the sinner's prayer.
Good man.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hey, that's
Hallelujah. Good. Yay, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Keep it up, Caleb. Anybody else have an answer to prayer that you want to share? No? You haven't had any answer prayers? No? Oh, boy, you better start praying.
I got an email from Ryan's boss today trying to get me to go to this auditing course, and I'm grateful that God answered my prayer that I don't have to audit anymore.
Wonderful.
sounds like a bunch of numbers and a bunch of painfully having to make sure you get those numbers right, or...
Yep, that's accounting. Auditing is making sure that contracts were fulfilled correctly.
That's pretty easy. All you gotta do is look at the paperwork and say, yeah, this is definitely fulfilled, all right. Or no, this is not fulfilled, you gotta fix this.
So when you re-enroll in college, get an auditing degree.
No, I am not becoming an auditor.
Become an accountant and show us all.
No, I am not becoming an accountant. I do not want to work with Wall Street. No, sir. Mm-mm. Nope.
Ryan
never.
Ryan works for Department of Transportation.
I don't want to be an accountant. Mm-mm. That is one of the few things I refuse to do is accounting work. That is. Mm-mm.
Well, I would encourage everybody who couldn't think of an answered prayer this week to start focusing and paying attention and God, watching God answer your prayers, because
that's true.
It takes faith. If you're going to pray in faith and look for the answer and write it down. I mean, keep a prayer journal.
Well, it's easy to get discouraged if you're not looking for what God is doing in the situation. It's easy to get so focused on the negative because you're not looking at what is it that God wants to teach me, or how is he going to use this, or how is he going to use me, or how is he going to use someone else, or what is he really doing? So it's just changing our perspective and trying to see and say, God, I know you're doing something, and that's part of building your faith too.
You know, Natalie, the one thing that I've learned over the years is you got to be ready to hear. Mm-hmm. Ready to hear. I was at a meeting Monday night and had a certain opinion about picking up somebody. And then the word of the Lord came to me after I voiced my opinion. He said, no, I want this. Do you remember, Natalie?
Yeah.
And I cannot think of how many times the Lord has told me what I thought, and the Lord has told me, either shut up, isn't that rude, to be quiet, don't say anything. This is what I want. I don't want that. And that is something, you know, pastor asks, is there any answered prayer? Yeah. And I think if we all realize God speaks to us all the time.
Amen.
And we got to be ready to hear, slow to speak. I haven't quite got that down right. I speak and then I hear, but it should be vice versa. Slow to speak, ready to hear. Mm-hmm. You know. So that the prayers, I think many people said, well, I haven't heard from God, or I haven't had an answer to prayer. And I suggest that God speaks to us all the time. He is always with us. If you lift your heart to him, he speaks to you. And it may not always be what you want to hear. And I think that's why he gives us the Holy Spirit. That's why he loves us so.
I got a question. When Jesus said watch under prayer, what does he mean by watch?
It's in Mark 13. To watch under prayer means to be actively attentive.
Actively attentive.
Yeah.
Like you're watching. You're like guard duty.
Yeah, it's like the watchman on the wall in the Old Testament Ezekiel.
Yeah, okay.
Paying attention to things you can
change.
Because we have the power to change things with our prayers.
That's right.
I mean, we have that power. And God doesn't want it dormant. He wants us changing the world.
No.
And that's what we're to do, change the world. And the first is going to start with obedience and prayer. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a powerful thing. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't even begin to tell you tonight some of the things he's had me pray, and I have seen the answer. And it wouldn't, it looked impossible, but he told me to pray that, and it came to pass. And I could write a book, really, and maybe one day I will.
You know what the fun thing is about being a Christian? Is, have you ever asked yourself, God is omnipotent, he holds the universe together, and yet he wants us to pray to him or talk to him all the time. Like he needs to hear. Mm-hmm. Like when Sawyer started talking, my ears became attentive, not just because he's my grandson, mm-hmm. but when it's a delight to hear when the kids speak, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And I got kind of a kick out of Beth. I said, what time do you get up? She said, 5. And I said, oh, and she likes to go to bed early. And I thought to myself, isn't that the time the chickens get up?
I don't get the chickens up when I get up.
Okay. Enough said.
I think it's interesting that you say, though. It went right out my head. Sorry. Congestion. I'm not feeling good right now. So I was literally thinking about what you were saying, and that just left me.
The chickens?
No. It was something you said before that.
We have a minute over the prayer that we have, what we've talked about. Can we just bow our heads? Father, we thank you for your word, for your word is so instructive and its power. And thank you that you're teaching us how to use it in a greater way, Father, and be more in tune with your truth. We thank you, Father, that what Ephesians teaches us, Lord, that you help us to grasp it. From every part of it that we need to understand and help teach us how to walk according to the armor of God and what you have given us as tools to walk through this life, Father. We thank you for blessing the children here. We thank you for answered prayer. We thank you for this young man that Caleb was able to lead to the sinner's prayer. We thank you, Father, for everything that you do. And Lord, there are so many things that you do that we don't even know. We thank you for all the things that you're doing to perfect our lives, Lord, even behind the scenes that we're not aware of. And we thank you for being able to come together and discuss your word. And we just ask that you, Father, that you heal anyone here struggling with physical ailments right now, because you are our healer. And I just thank you, Father, for the congestion that Beth is dealing with has to go in Jesus' name, that it dry up in the name of Jesus, and that she was able to feel whole again in Jesus' name. And anybody else that's dealing with ailments, Lord, you know our bodies even more than we do. And we just thank you, Father, that you are our health. You are our health. And we just thank you that you have died for us, not just to be forgiven, but to be healed, to be walking in union with you. And we just thank you for everything you've done and will do for us in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.